In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God incarnate, Jesus the Christ, he could have done whatever he wanted to do, anything even beyond our imagination. He was the incarnate Son of the Father, the eternal Father, the eternal Son, the eternal Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was the incarnate Son of God. He could have done anything. He could have thrown mountains into the sea. He could have satisfied the requests of the Pharisees and the scribes to do incredible things. He never did any one of those things. He could have. He had created the heavens and the earth, all living things. Human beings themselves, he never did any of those things. It seems as though we're always looking for something spectacular. Spectacular. Superhero movies are really popular. And I think of those Transformer movies, those huge, monstrous beings, crushing things, throwing things, doing incredible things, small little people, being amazed and awed by the things that are done, by these spectacular beings. Jesus could have done any of those things, really, but he never did any of those things. He never satisfied the vanity of the scribes and the Pharisees for something spectacular, something that they couldn't imagine ever being able to do themselves. That's what they were looking for. Instead, he never did anything that didn't fit into the lives already being lived by human beings. All of the healings that he did, they supplied what was missing, what was needed. God created the world and it was good. The world is good. But it is broken because we are broken, because human beings are broken, because there is something missing in us. And he came in order to give what is missing in us, himself. He gave of himself every time he performed one of those miracles. Satan challenged him, just like the scribes and Pharisees did. Turn these stones into bread so that food means nothing. He did not want food to mean nothing. He used bread to fulfill what was missing when we eat of the food of this world. Satan challenged him to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple and show clearly that he was indestructible. Now that merely makes you think of those superhero movies. Always something spectacular. He never did anything that didn't fit into the lives of human beings already being lived. That's why he came, to supply what is missing from the lives that we are already living. He came and he walked in our humanity so that we now can walk in his humanity. And when we walk in his humanity, there is nothing missing. We are able to live as the human beings that God created us to be. And even though sin and suffering and death remain in the world, we are able to walk as full human beings in communion with God, able to walk in the humanity of Christ, the divine humanity of Christ. And when we slip and we fall and we miss the mark, we want to hurry back into and to re-enter into the humanity of Christ. And so we go and we repudiate, we reject whatever it is that doesn't fit into the humanity of Christ. The perfection that we can have when we remain united to him, to his perfection, his humanity. In ourselves, we are not perfect. We are still broken. The healing comes from uniting ourselves to him. But it is always possible to reunite ourselves to him. There is nothing that can happen in our lives that will separate us from him. That's why he came, to destroy the power of suffering and sin and death, to make us unable to live the lives that he created us to live. Those lives are always available to us. Repentance and return are always possible. And the life that God meant us to live, it is always available to us. After the killing of St. John the Baptist, Jesus wanted to retreat into solitude in the desert and pray. And that's why he came to the desert place that we find him in today in our reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. But John the Baptist had been killed. He had been taken from the people, and the people followed him. 5,000 men and easily as many women and children, 10,000 followed him into the desert. And he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick, St. Matthew says. And St. Mark says that at that time he taught them. He taught them into the evening, all afternoon and into the evening. He taught them many things. When he speaks to those who are before him, and here he had these 10,000 men, women, and children. And he responded to their need. We don't have his words. We have all the words of the gospel, but as St. John said, if everything that he said had been recorded, there wouldn't be enough books in the whole world. So you had to be there. You had to be one of those 10,000 to hear those words. Those were the words that those people needed to hear at that time. But then it began to get dark. It began to be evening. And the apostles came to him and they said, send them into the villages so that they can buy something to eat. And Jesus said, feed them. And in the gospel, according to St. John, it says that Andrew, the first called of the apostles, is the one who said, there is a boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is that among so many? And Jesus said, bring them to me. And they took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Christ. And he had the multitude sit down before him. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he raised his eyes up to heaven and prayed. There is only one other miracle. We don't even think of it as a miracle. We miss it. When he does this, all of the healings, all of the things that he did, raising from the dead, not once did he do what he did at this time, except in the upper room, when he took the bread that he would share with his apostles. He raised his eyes up to heaven and thanked God the Father and united himself to the Father in that prayer, affirmed his oneness with the Father, affirmed his oneness with the Holy Spirit. It is a sacramental act, taking the things of the world and raising them up so that they can fulfill us, not just physically but spiritually as well. Just exactly the opposite of the kind of miracle that Satan had tempted him to do. Turn stone into bread. Make everything beyond what is physical and material irrelevant by your power. Why would he do that? That's the sort of thing that the divider, Satan, would do. Christ takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish and raises them up to heaven and breaks the loaves with his own hands. Hands that fashioned creation, all living things, and ourselves. Those hands break the 5 loaves. And he gives them to the apostles. And they begin to distribute what he has broken. And after everyone has eaten, there are 12 baskets left. 12. 12. Like the 12 apostles who will do the same thing. Down through the millennia. as we do at the divine liturgy, taking the body and blood of Christ and dividing it and giving it to whomever is here to fulfill ourselves spiritually and physically, to unite ourselves to Him. There is something of communion with God that is taking place through Christ in the distribution of the five loaves and the two fishes. No question. And this desert place, Jesus Christ makes into His place. He welcomes all of these 10,000 to His table. They share what they need from Him. Saint Nikolai Velimirovic, from whom I have borrowed virtually everything I've said, only not in as good of words, mentions that the apostles had come to him and they said, send them into the villages. Send them away. It would have been, you see, like sending them back into the world. Send them back into the world. That was the choice. And he said, no, they don't need to leave. Either they're with him or they're sent back into the world. And so he doesn't want to send them back into the world. He wants to keep them with him. And so he does what he does. That's the miracle of the five loaves and the two fishes. And, you know, we look at this miracle and we think, oh, spectacular. We miss it altogether. What he gave them was more than just feeding them from five loaves and two fishes, which is spectacular, I admit. But what he gave them is what they needed. He gave them comfort. He gave them oneness with himself. He offered up what they had to give to him, to share with them. He offered it up the way human beings are meant to offer up the fruit of this world in thanksgiving. He is the one who is able to do that. He has come in order to fulfill our human calling to do that, to take the fruit of the world, offer it up to God, receive it back as communion with Him. That's what human beings are in the world to do. We don't do that. We take the stuff of the world and we consume it. And we say, I did this. This is the fruit of my labor. I'm a self-made man. Or I'm a woman, the new kind of woman, able to do what any man can do and better. Whatever I do, I've done for myself and I build my own life. That's our ideal. To be the superhero, not to need anything, to turn stone into bread, to turn the world into a satisfaction of myself, to cut God out and replace Him with our own capacity. But Jesus told the apostles, don't send them back into the world. Don't send them back into the villages to find the food of the world. You feed them. You are going to be the 12 who are going to go and to feed the people. And I will do what needs to be done. This is what is necessary. This is what human beings need. This is what they need in order to be able to continue to live their lives. That's what he does. And in the end, what needs to be done is that death, its power over us, needs to be destroyed because we're constantly in danger of despair because of the shadow of death. But we need not be, because he has overcome death once and for all. And what we need when we are in that state of mind is repentance, reorientation toward the one thing needful, the oneness with God that we have through Christ. He doesn't want to make us dependent on ourselves. He wants us to be able to live our own lives, but not cut him out. After he has fed the 5,000, then he sends them away fulfilled. And he sends the apostles back on the boat across the sea by themselves. And he does what he went to the desert to do. In solitude, he communes, he prays to the Father. And that's the time when the tempest will come up. We didn't get that far in our reading, but that's what's going to happen. The tempest is going to come up out on that sea. And the apostles will see Jesus coming to them across the water, walking on the water. He is always available, you see. We have communion and oneness with him. And we go and we live our lives in the world, and he is always available. Whenever we need to call on him, he will come to us as he came to the apostles across the water. And that's kind of the postscript St. Nikolai Velimirovic adds to his explanation of the meaning of the distribution of the five loaves and two fishes to over 10,000. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.